looking at it, you see where he's at. It's at with the map, you can see the very top place in the area that's called Galatia, which is an area, Galatia. And he's at the very top city there called Antioch in Pisidia. Now remember, there's another Antioch over here in Syria. So there's two of those, same cities named, but it's two different places. So anyway, that's where he is, and he is there trying to establish and start a church. It's the beginning. If you remember through this message, we preached how that this is kind of the beginning of the missionary push toward the Gentile people and the Gentile lands. They have gone, Paul and Barnabas and their group have gone from the area of Antioch in Syria. They've left out there. They've gone on a trip, already been through the country of Cyprus, the little island of Cyprus, and now they've turned northward and gone to land, and they came in an area called Pamphylia, and then they went northward from there into the area of Galatia, and they found a little city that's called Antioch, and there they found some Jewish synagogues. And as those folks assembled, well, Paul and Barnabas, being Jewish, went to meet with them. And they were able to do that because of the invitation and the hospitality they knew they would receive because they were Jewish. And another reason for that also is that Paul always wants to preach the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I mean, that's his way of operating. So look with me, if you will, chapter number 13, verse number 38. Paul says this. He says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Let's have a word of prayer tonight, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for this time and the day and the blessings of it and all the good things that you've sent our way. Thank you for the good songs that we've enjoyed tonight. Thank you for blessing us with that. And I pray now, God, just open our hearts and open our eyes and open our minds toward the things of God, towards these verses that we studied tonight. Help us to see you. Help us to know that you are still the only way of salvation, and we'll just give you praise, honor, and glory tonight. For it's in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, Paul is really finishing the message that he started. Now, this message started all the way back, if you will, back in verse number, 19 or so. And as he begins to preach that message to them, man, there's all these folks that he has preached to, and he's trying to convince them of the good grace of God and the salvation in Jesus. And of course, obviously, it's a new thing for them to hear. It's a new thing for them to hear. But as they hear that, as they begin to hear it, it begins to do the work that the gospel does. It begins to get their interest. It begins to draw them. It begins to attract them. And that's what you're seeing. Now, what you're seeing here is, I read there in verses 38 and 39, 40 and 41. That is the conclusion of this message. This is the last little bit of the message, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, and just title it this way, "The Message Concludes." The message concludes. Paul brings his message to this church, the very, one of the very first things that he does for churches that's recorded for us in the book of Acts, the very first message. Hey, man, he's bringing it to a conclusion. Now, he's the man that's called to be the preacher to the Gentiles, the man that's going to establish the Gentile churches in the Gentile there. Here he is bringing that for the first time to a real conclusion. He's calling, you know, for the, if you will, he's almost like he's making an invitation call. He says, be it known unto you. When he starts out there in verse number 38, he said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I mean, he starts out with a, as he's closing, if you will, in a strong argument. He said, and by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. And then he says, beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophet. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. He said, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He finishes up his sermon there with those words. Now, that doesn't sound like the way that we do it. He didn't call for, you know, Brother Ronnie to come and lead a song. He didn't do that, but that's the way that that he was preaching his message. I mean, here it is in the beginning of this thing, and this is the way that Paul has developed his style and his form and his fashion of preaching. He just preaches the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, I'm glad that throughout this, as we saw particularly last week, how that he has interspersed some of the scriptures from the Word of God, from the Old Testament, that he knew, that they knew, the Jewish people knew, and that they probably had read to them every week some of the scriptures, some of those things that they had heard before. They're hearing it now from Paul, but they're hearing it in a different way because he's proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So, as he's doing that, they're looking at him like, man, what is all this about? And as I said, he's bringing it to a conclusion. He's told them, and the main thing that he told them, we looked at last week, the main thing he told them was that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. That was a strange doctrine to many of them. They had never heard about anyone dying and rising again, even though it's in the Old Testament, even though he had pulled out the Old Testament scriptures and he was bringing it to their attention and said, look, this is what was prophesied. This was what was said about David being a king and David having a kingdom and there never being anyone that would never be on the, not be on the throne for David's kingdom. He said, here's all of it right here. It's before you. And he preaches to them about David. And he says, but you know what the scripture says? It says that thou wilt not let suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And he said, David's out in the grave and he's dead. He said, but Jesus rose again. He was resurrected on the third day and he lives forevermore. Surely this is who this prophecy is about. And then he gets into what we're saying. He said, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. Let's look at it, if you will, at this ending, as he's ending this, and just maybe a few things as he goes about. First of all, look at this, and notice Paul's explanation to the hearers about Jesus Christ. Paul's explanation to them about this doctrine, this new thing, this new way that they're hearing that he's wanting to deliver to them. He's telling them, for the first time for many of them, they're hearing about Jesus. I mean, as I say, some of those that are there Jewish, those that have been around a while, they've probably heard and they know what happened in Jerusalem about Jesus being crucified, but they didn't think anything about it until Paul now steps in and preaches to them that Jesus died and rose again. But what does Paul say in his conclusion? He says this, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren. He says this, first of all, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. First of all, I want you to notice as Paul is giving an explanation to those that are hearing him, he said, first of all, there is pardon and forgiveness only in Jesus Christ. He said, through this man, he's talking about this man that he's been referring to that was resurrected from the dead, this man that he has named as Jesus the Christ. Brother, he's explaining to them that only through Jesus do you have the forgiveness of your sins. Can I tell you, I believe people need to hear that again today. I mean, people need to understand. There's Jesus told Thomas. Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know? We don't know anything very much." And Jesus said, "Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And here Paul is preaching and saying, let me tell you that through this man, and only through this man, he said that it is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Do you know what the word forgiveness means? The word forgiveness means to have pardon, have a pardon, or to have freedom from something. It means that something has removed all the guilt, all the shame, all the punishment, and even one day it will remove the presence of sin from our lives. We're forgiven through Him. Through the preaching, your sins are forgiven. Boy, isn't that amazing? I mean, when you and I sit and we think about that, there is a forgiveness for our sins. How does that happen? You are fully forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're forgiven. Your sins are no more. The songwriter said, you ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. My sins are gone. And he says in that course, they're underneath the blood. Hey, they're gone. They've been erased. They've been taken away by the amazing grace of God. He forgave us. Amen? He forgave us. And that's what Paul is preaching to them. He said, look, who has told you about the forgiveness of sin? I'll guarantee you those men in that synagogue had not preached the forgiveness of sins. All they said was, well, we have an atonement. We have to take a blood sacrifice every year, and our sins are atoned. We're rolled back. We've got them pushed back for another year. But can I tell you, Paul stepped in and said, let me tell you, your sins can be forgiven. Never held against you again. So he explains to them that through Jesus, you can have the forgiveness of sin. But he also says there's a second thing. It's not just that you've got a forgiveness, a pardon and forgiveness. But look what he says in verse 39. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, he had to throw that in there because that's all they'd been hearing. All that those Jewish rabbis and teachers and people reading the scriptures and all that, that's all they've been able to give them was that, well, it's, you know, by the law of Moses, by the law of Moses, by the law says this, the law says that. But here he says, let me tell you, he says, you can be justified. Well, what does justified mean? Well, the word justified means to be rendered just or innocent. And in our case, we're looking to be made or rendered just or innocent before God. You know what that means? When your sins are forgiven and they're gone, then you're made justified. You're made, as we like to say sometimes, that word justified can be used like that. It's justified, never sinned. You're justified. You've been set free. Your pardon, your guilt, your sin, everything having to do with it is gone. And now it's just as if your slate's been wiped clean. There's nothing held against you. Amen? As I said, I guarantee you, they've never heard that before. They've never, and there's a lot of folks today that have never heard that that can happen to them. You'd say, now wait a minute, preacher, how in the world can Jesus do that? Well, it's through us being imputed into our account the righteousness of God. Because Jesus died for us, He imputed His righteousness onto me and you. And that makes us justified with God. Again, something I'm sure these people had never heard. But listen, Paul is saying, look, you are fully in a faithful standing before God now. You're right with Him. You're fully standing in a place that Jesus did something that no other man could do. No other man. What did Paul tell them that he was giving them? He was giving them the glad tidings. He was giving them the good news. What did we say that was? That's the gospel. That's what he's given them. He has given them the good news. So Paul has given here an explanation. He's giving them an explanation to those that will hear him. He's giving them an explanation about what Jesus can do for them. I'm trying to give you an explanation. I'm trying to tell you, hey, can I just tell you, that's what this whole gospel story is about, for us to hear the gospel story. And these folks are sitting there. The Jewish rabbi has given them an opportunity, and now Paul stands up and he says, okay, let me tell you about how you can obtain forgiveness of sin. Let me tell you now how you can be justified before God. Man, isn't that amazing? Isn't that a great story to hear that those things are possible with us? Now, I want you to notice something. This is just something that it just fell out on me when I was reading this. But if you'll look at it in verse number 38, he says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, listen, that through this man, he says, we have the forgiveness of sins. Right? He said, through him, through Jesus. But look in verse number 39, he said, and by him all that believe are justified. Now, it just almost made sense to me. Why didn't we use the same word by instead of through in one case? Why didn't we use by in both cases? Or why didn't we use through in both cases? But the idea is this, if when something is done through something, it means that is the source of whatever's being done. Jesus is the source of your forgiveness. Through him, you're forgiven. He is the source of your forgiveness. He's the place where that forgiveness begins with. But then in that next verse, he says, by him we're justified. That word by means it was an action of him. He acted in some way to provide that result. And thank God, by him, hey, he said we're justified. By him. You're justified by him. It's not by your repenting. It's not by your prayer. It's not by your coming and joining church. It's not by getting in a baptism pool. It's by him that you are justified before God. Amen? So Paul uses those two words, and you'll see that throughout a lot of his writing. You'll see those words either by or through, and they are two separate words. And, you know, the meaning of them a little bit different, and that's, you know, just something for you to study on. All right? So, you notice there, Paul has given them an explanation about who Jesus is and what he does. What you've got, because what you can have because of him. But next of all, next, look, if you will, and notice that you see Paul's exclamation to those that are hearing him about Jesus. But listen to what he says here. In verses 40 and 41, he says, beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. Well, what is it that's spoken? He says, behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. I want you to notice he's gone from explaining this to make an exclamation of this. He uses two words of exclamation that we need to really look at. The first one is beware. And that's what we'll call the awareness factor. You need to be aware of the dangers of not hearing what Paul has to say. I mean, you and I need to be and we are in danger when we don't listen to what the Word of God has to say to us. I mean, man, I know, hey, it seems like sometimes we say the preacher preaches the same old thing. Why do we need to hear? Man, you need to hear the Word of God. The Bible says that you and I, over in the book of Hebrews, he says that you and I should be hearing what the Word of God has to say. Because, son, it's a dangerous thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I mean, you and I need to hear, we need to be aware of what the Word of God is saying to us, what the Word of God is saying. I'm telling you, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Paul also wrote in the book of Hebrews. I believe he's saying here, he said, look, boys, you need to beware of this. You need to listen, because if you don't, hey, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in a situation where, man, this is presented to you. Now you have to listen. He says, you need to be aware. He is warning them. God doesn't just woo us. We talk about the sweet spirit of God wooing a man and drunk. But hey, I'll tell you, not only does he woo us, just like Paul said here about Jesus, but now he's warning them. And he woos us, but he warns us too. If you reject my message, you're in danger of going to a place called hell. And folks don't want to hear that anymore, do they? They don't want to hear about hell. Oh, preacher, tell us about the love of God. Oh, preacher, sing to us that sweet, sweet song about Jesus loves me. I mean, tell us all them good things. No, sir, sometimes we need to be warned. If you don't hear the word of God, Paul says to them here, he says, beware therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophet. Brother, I'm telling you, he said, there is a word of warning. Do you realize that throughout much of the Old Testament, especially the prophets in the Old Testament, it is a word of warning. Woe unto you. I mean, and God says, hear, O Israel. I mean, there's just words after words after words that are in there that are written from the prophet, and it is a warning. Listen to me. I'm calling. I'm trying to deliver you, God said. I'm wanting to bring you, but you're not listening. You're getting hard-hearted. You're getting deaf in the ear. You're not listening spiritually is what God says to them. So much of the Old Testament is words. They are words of warning. Words of warning. But do you know what? Hey, people still don't want to hear it, do they? They don't want, and Paul says, look, I'm telling you, there's forgiveness. I'm telling you can be justified. He said, but you better be aware of some things. And as I said, this is the awareness factor. Folks need to be aware today. There is a judgment that follows. There is a judgment. I'm telling you, there's a judgment that comes our way. I mean, don't neglect it. Beware. God just doesn't play around. God's just not trying to just fill up space in his Bible with some of the things that he said. Jesus preached about hell. Jesus preached about its reality. Jesus preached about people going there. He talked about the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes. And you know what happens when Jesus tells those parables and stories there in the book of Luke around that chapter number 15 and goes on beyond that in chapter number 16. What happens? The Pharisees get mad because they know he's talking to them. And he said, I'm just warning you. Brother, can I tell you the Bible's written as an admonition to us. There's some warning in there. It's good to read that. I mean, I love to read about where it said God's love and God loves us and he loved us before we loved him. I love all of that. But I still understand there is a word of warning in that in the scriptures for me and you that we're to be aware of some things. And as I said, that's the awareness side of it. But look what he said in verse number 41. He says, behold. There's the second part of it. Behold. First word is beware. But the second word is behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work in which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. You've got a word that he says, here's the warning. But then there's and that's the warning, the awareness factor. But here he's giving them a second thing. He says, you have an accountability before God. You're accountable. You cannot stand before God one day and say, well, I didn't know. I never heard. Nobody ever told me. I don't think so. I mean, it's out in print. It's on the television. It's on the radio airwaves. It's in the church houses. Brother, I'm telling you, there's still the warning going out, and people have this word given to them where the preacher said, you're accountable. You're accountable for your action. You're accountable for your life. You're accountable for what you do with the Word of God. Every bit of that is true. We're all accountable for the Word of God. We're accountable for everything that we do. But look, he has warned them. And if you look back in the scriptures, this part of this that he is using in verse number 41, he said, for I work a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. That is from the book of Habakkuk. It's from the book that Habakkuk wrote to the people of Israel. And that's in the first few verses. I mean, verse number 5, chapter 1, verse 5. When he says those words to them, he is warning them, if they don't repent and turn to God, God's going to send the Babylonian armies in there to destroy them and to help get them captive, take their cattle and their land and their people and their children. And I mean, everything's going to be gone. And you know what? He said, just like then, he said, I'm going to work a work. You won't believe it. Though a man gets up and preaches. And that's exactly what happened to Israel, wasn't it? God sent a man. God let him preach. And the people heard it, but they didn't hear it. They didn't pay it any heed. And you know, sometimes it seems like that today. We go around and we preach the gospel. We sing out of the song books. We get the word of God. We're doing everything we can. And you know what? It's like people never even listen. They don't pay a bit of attention. They're running around doing their little thing and carrying on in the way they want. Brother, they're not paying a bit of attention in the world to anything that's going on in God's world. I mean, can you not just see that today? If you get your Bible and you'd look at this world today, you'd see why China and Russia are lining up. You'd see why all of the mayhem and the craziness and all sorts of incidences are happening all over this world. Jesus is getting ready to come. He's just setting the stage for everything to be made as is prophesied in the Word of God. And people are just like, well, I don't know why the economy is going this way. I don't know why world politics are the way they are. I don't understand this. Get in your Bible and look and you'll see. Amen. I mean, it's just all laid out here for you in black and white. If you'll just take a little time and study. He said, but no. He said, behold, what does he call them? Despisers. Those that would despise any man that has something to say about the Word of God and about God's authority. And he said, you're going to wonder about it and perish. They'll perish. Because God said, I'm going to work a work. In your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe. And wasn't that the way it was in the days of Habakkuk, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of those great prophets of old? God sent them and let them warn the people and said, y'all better get ready. It's coming. We don't need that. Do you know that's the way the world is today? We don't need that. We don't need to hear that preacher. We don't need, that ain't ever going to happen. Everything's been clicking along just fine like it always has. Oh, really? You hadn't looked at the headlines lately, have you? I mean, man, there's all kinds of scary stuff out there. But for the child of God, you know what he's saying? Oh, this is all the things we see that need to be lining up. And the Lord is coming soon. Amen? We can see that. So Paul is preaching them and giving them and making an exclamation mark or two and saying, beware and behold. But then notice last of all, after the little bit of verses 42 and 43 where Paul is talking to these people, and this is after the service is over with. Verse 42 says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I want you to look at this and let's think about Paul's exhortation to those that have heard him. Paul's got a word to say unto those that are hanging around. I mean, you see what's happening here. They've had church, and the old hard-line, hard-headed Jewish people, rabbis and their followers, they've gone outside, and they're mumbling, and they're grumbling, and they've gone out, and they're just fussing and fuming and carrying on about how dare him get in here and preach that stuff. He don't need to come into our church and start that bit. He don't even know what he's talking. You know, that's what they're doing. But do you see what it says there in verse number 42? When the Jews were gone out, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. What does that mean? Well, first of all, let me just say this. They desired to hear more from the Word of God. Boy, we need that kind of desire today, don't we? We need old sinners to say, hey, somebody tell me the story of Jesus. Somebody tell me about the resurrection. Somebody tell me about that burial and those 3 days. And then that the next morning on the first day of the week, he was up and out of the grave. Somebody tell me that story. Amen. You know, we've got songs in our songbooks that allude to every bit of that. I love to tell the story. Amen. Oh, the old story. I love to tell the story about Jesus. Amen. Let me tell you, that's what people need to hear, and that's what they need to have, is that kind of heart where they have a desire to hear more from the Word of God. And isn't it amazing when you do run into somebody and you begin to talk to them and they say, man, hey, tell me more. I hadn't heard this. And they begin to get a desire for it. That's exactly what's happening here. There's some hard heads that don't want to hear it, but then there's some that desire to hear more. They have a desire to hear more of the Word there in verse number 42. And then look, in verse 43, it says, when the congregation was broken up, it said many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. Not only did they have a desire, listen, they were drawn to these men of God and that preaching about Jesus. They was like, hey, we want to hear more. We want you, come on, tell us, man. We got some questions. We want to know more. Do you remember when Jesus first came on the scene and John pointed him out to some of his disciples? And that was probably Andrew and John himself that Jesus was pointed out to. And John the Baptist, you know, told him, said, look, they're the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And they went out and they start talking with Jesus. Remember? They went and they asked him, they said, where dwellest thou? He said, come and see. They went and they stayed with him that evening. They wanted to hear more about what he had to say. Amen. They were drawn to him. The crowds, when they saw the miracles, when they heard the preaching, the crowds were drawn to him. Hey, you remember Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and Nicodemus was drawn. There was something there that was drawing them to him because they wanted to know more about him. And now you see a crowd of men here that are drawn in, and they say, we want to know more about this fella that rose from that. We want you to tell us some more about it. I mean, they followed him. They went home with him after church. And they didn't even get invited. Amen. They just tagged along anyhow, didn't they? They said, hey, we want to hear more. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas. I mean, they went after them. They had a desire for more of the, they said, we won't hear this again next Sunday. Amen. When's the last time any of us been in church? Somebody comes and says, preacher, I can't wait till next Sunday. Man, I want to hear something from the Word of God. Amen? If people tell me that and I pass out, y'all have to pick me up, okay? Pick me up. And I say, what? They want to hear more about, not hear me more, but hear more about him. And I believe that's the way that it ought to be. We sing that old story, more about Jesus. That old song that says, more of Jesus would I know. Amen. More about him would I learn. I'm just telling you, we need to know more about Jesus. More about him. Then notice this, last of all, they desired to hear more of the Word. They're drawn closer to the Lord. And then last of all, they're directed by Paul to continue in the grace of God. Look what he says. Who, it says they followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. That's almost an odd statement to us, isn't it? I mean, it's like, well, that's kind of awkwardly spoken. Why would he, you know, persuade them or try to tell them to stay in the grace of God? You know why? Because they'd go back to that synagogue and there'd be somebody there that said, you don't need to listen to him. We're doing okay under the law of Moses. We've been following the law. We're followers of the law for all of our lives. We know, but you don't need to listen to this guy. But they're there and persuading them. Look at the difference. They've been hearing about the law. They've been hearing about the law that's been given to them. But he said, Paul said, Barnabas and I want you to continue in the grace of God. Can I tell you, we need to encourage people today to continue in the way of grace rather than the way of works. I mean, that's basically what you're telling. That old works-based religion. Do you know that there's so many today and that's it? Their religion is based on some kind of works. Oh, you can go to heaven if you'll do what we say and follow our plan and do it. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The grace of God is simply that God did what? He saved you by grace. By grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right there it is in plain English. Paul said, you're not saved by your works. You're saved by the grace of God. Ain't a thing in the world you can do. You can't add nothing to it. You can't take nothing away from it. Brother, it's the grace of God. That's what the songwriter said. When Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Paul is encouraging them. He's encouraging them. Stay with the way of grace. And don't get drawn back into what you've heard. And you know something? That's hard, I guarantee you. When you're raised a certain way. I mean, I've seen people that were raised and you know, all kinds of religious ways. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, the light bulb goes on. And they'd say, well, I believed this all of my life. But now look, this is true. Yeah. Amen. Welcome to the Bible. I mean, you know, oh, well, we've always heard you got to do this and you got to. Yeah, right. I mean, there's so many cults and so many ways out there that they try to tell you that this is the way. I mean, you've got folks out there like the Jehovah's Witnesses that come and knock on your door. They try to tell you, oh, it's going to be down here and it's going to be this way. Thank God, aren't you glad that it's Jesus, by His grace, is going to take us home to be with Him one day. Amen. Now, little fellas running around on their bicycles, those little Mormon folk come knock on your door and they won't tell you about all this stuff. You begin to question them and say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Well, yeah. You say, well, you tell me about Jesus. Well, He was one of those beings that God created. Back up a minute, Jack. Let's talk about this thing in the right way. Let me show you some Bible that Jesus has ever been. He wasn't created at any time. Amen. I'm just telling you, you get into some of these things that come by your way, you better be careful, you know, who you're agreeing with and what you're going with, because, man, they don't know. They may think they know, and they may even tell you, oh, we believe the same thing. We don't believe in the same thing many times. Better ask a few questions. Find out where they stand. And see, that's what Paul said. He said, y'all don't get sucked back into what you just got out of. Get out of it and go the grace way. Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved by grace tonight? Amen. I'm saved by grace. Now, don't you just look at a preview, just a little bit of what's coming on next week. It said, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Luke didn't say they came to hear Paul. They came to hear Barnabas. They came to hear the word of God. They came to hear the word of God. Amen. That's the way it is, isn't it, Brother James? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the preacher? Nope, by the Word of God. By the Word of God. It doesn't matter who the preacher is. If he's preaching the Word of God, it'll get the job done. As a matter of fact, you know, sometimes I don't know if it's Paul talking to him or Barnabas talking to him, but it doesn't matter if they're either both of them are giving them the Word of God. That's what matters more than anything. Amen? Amen. Well, that brings us to another little breaking point there, as I say, verse 44, so Brother Ron, if you would, come on, let's sing a verse of a song. But we're about to, next week, Lord willing, we'll finish up this chapter. You'll get through the rest of it and see what is going on and going through the rest of this place. And they're about to move on. They're about to move on. There's a church here, and we're not.